sermon title today is Dead or Alive. So let me ask you a question. Is it possible for people to be dead but at the same time alive? Well, according to the scripture, the answer is yes. It is possible for one to be physically alive but at the same time be spiritually dead. I've heard Carol say many times, we are more spiritual and don't recognize it than we are physical. That the physical part of us is only temporal. Our bodies are only a shell. But the part of us that is spiritual is eternal and it is everlasting. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says the scriptures tells us that we live in a lost and dying world today. And I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Now we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2. And there's times that we are going to leave Ephesians chapter 2, but we will come back to it. So if that's something that you would like to save your place in, you're more than welcome to do so. So Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, and verse 1 of Ephesians 2 says this, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," which we're talking about the adversary, Satan here, "the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." But verse 1 says, "And you who he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Those that do not know Christ are dead in their trespasses and sins. Spiritually dead, spiritually separated from God. Have you heard it said that a person is dead to me? You know, if you get mad at somebody, have you ever hear anybody say that? That person, I have disowned them. I don't want nothing to do with them. That person is now dead to me, which is a horrific thing to think about. I disown them. Well, spiritually, we are dead to God. We have separated ourselves, not because he wanted to separate himself from us, but because we chose to separate ourselves from him. We do not know Christ as Lord and Savior, then we have separated ourselves from our Heavenly Father. Sin has separated us from him. Let's look at this from the point of the original sin. So we're going to go back, we're going to come back to Ephesians, but turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to start reading from verse 1, so we can kind of get the storyline here. But in Genesis 3, verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it.'" Now listen to the words. "Nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will surely not die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" God had told Adam and Eve not to eat of the fruit of the tree that was in the midst of the garden. Now, back up to Genesis chapter 2 and look at verse 15. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, we're going to read verse 15 through 17. But in Genesis 2, verse 15, "Then the Lord God took man and put him in the garden, Eden, to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" And we say, well, how can this happen? How can this happen? Because if you turn to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5, so go to Genesis 5 and verse 5, and it says, "So all the days that Adam lived," now listen to this, "so all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and then he died." Adam lived to be 930 years old. Because of sin, Adam and Eve spiritually died that day. That's what the Lord is talking about. When he's talking about the death, he's talking about the spiritual separation from him, from them, because they were disobedient and they sinned. When we talk about death, you know, when Jesus referred to death many times of a believer, he said they are sleeping. Why did he say that they were sleeping? Because it was a temporary state. But we see in the book of Revelations, for those that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, appear before the great white throne judgment, they will experience what? The second death. There's a death that we must all face, it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. If the Lord Jesus does not return, we will experience physical death. But there's a second death that no one has to experience, and that is eternal separation from God. If one that is walking this earth that does not know Jesus, they are dead because they are spiritually dead. So even though they were physically alive, they were spiritually dead. So what is this spiritual death? It is a spiritual separation from God. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God and God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you? Where are you?" You see, God, because of his loving relationship that he had with Adam and Eve, he would come down in the cool of the evening to fellowship and have a relationship. But all of a sudden, they had partaken of this fruit. In verse 10, he says, "So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not eat? Then the man said to the woman, whom you gave to me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, That is that this you have done. And the woman said, The serpent deceived me, and I ate." God walked with Adam and Eve. But that was going to end, wasn't it? Because all of a sudden, the Spirit of God that was in their life left them. Why? Because of sin. So everyone that is born in this world today is born into a world of sin, in a world that is separated from God. God walked with Adam and Eve. He had fellowship with them. That fellowship was broken with God by sin. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And there are so many of you that already know what that scripture says before we even get there. But in Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 3, in verse 23, it says what? "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All have sinned. Everyone born in this world is born into a world of sin. We can try to blame it on Adam and Eve, but it is our own sin that has separated us from our Heavenly Father. When we look back at Ephesians again, go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and what did it say? In Ephesians 2, verse 1, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." You were dead in your sins. The Walking Dead may have been a movie or it may have been a television show, but the spiritual truth of the matter is this. As Christians, we are surrounded by people that are dead. And you have heard me say many, many times, Jesus is not in the business of making good people out of bad people. He's in the business of making live people out of dead people. Because they're dead in their trespasses and sins, and we stay in that state until we come to the knowledge of the truth and know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have passed from death unto life. Spiritually dead because they do not know Christ. The spiritually dead walk according to their own fleshly desires and according to the god of this world, the adversary. It sounds harsh, doesn't it? But look at the scripture in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at what we were or are and look at what's available to us. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made to sit in it together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show you the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace have you been saved through what? Through your faith. And that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Before I knew Jesus, I was a child of disobedience. Before I knew Jesus, even though I did not recognize it nor realize it, I was spiritually dead. But through Christ today, I am alive forevermore, spiritually alive through Christ. I today am a child of the King. Now go back with me to the book of Romans. Now Romans chapter 8 is a wonderful chapter, and I'm going to read it to you just because it is so good. There's not hardly a part you can leave out, because if you leave out something, you're going to leave out something that was good. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is no, therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. No condemnation. The past is past. It is gone forevermore. It's no longer a part of your life. That's what you have in Jesus. There's no condemnation. You ever condemn yourself? You ever feel like you were being condemned because of something that you made a mistake from? Well, it's not from God. The Lord convicts us. He woos us. He draws us into a relationship. But he does not condemn us. As it says in John chapter 3, verse 16, and it goes on to say, he did not come into the world to condemn the world, but through him he might be saved. But it goes on to say, you condemn yourselves if you don't accept Jesus, because he's offered freely to all of us. The only condemnation that we have is when we condemn ourselves. The adversary loves condemnation, doesn't he? He loves guilt trips over things that you have been forgiven for, things that have been in your past that are no longer in your past, because God has thrown them as far as the east is from the west into the sea of unforgetfulness. They're gone forever. I got this letter this week from Circle of Freedom, and I want to read it to you. There's a note, and then there's a note from one of the people that are in the facility. Crossroads Gospel Church, thank you so much for your ongoing partnership with Circle of Freedom. Your faithful support helps make our ministry possible. Enclosed is a personal note from one of our students whose life is being transformed. Together we can bring freedom, a fresh start, and a future in Jesus to many women, their families, and our communities. Thank you again. God bless. But I want to read this note from one of the people that's in there. And she says, how do I take the pieces of my life and fit them together to build a solid foundation? Jesus is our healer, who turns the ashes of our lives into something beautiful in Isaiah 61:3. At Circle of Freedom, we learn how to sow healthy seeds and cultivate character. We come to realize our past is forgiven. Our future is secure through the great Redeemer, Jesus Christ. May your generosity be reflected in how I glorify God. Thank you. And her name was Amy. To see somebody's life, that so many people, you know the reason that so many people, I believe, never make that decision to accept Jesus, is because they don't think they're worthy of it. They have trashed their life to the point that they just don't think that there's any way God could ever forgive them for what they have done. And what a lie of the adversary. I wish I had a $100 bill, but I don't have a $100 bill. But I have a $5 bill, but we're going to pretend it's a $100 bill. I'm a cheap preacher, aren't I? But if I held this up and I said I had this $100 bill and I'd give it to anybody that wants it today, how many hands, and you don't need to raise your hands, how many hands would go up in this place? And we could say there would be a lot of hands that came up in this place. If I took this $100 bill and I crunched it all up and I folded it back out, now it's all wrinkled and all wrinkled up, I would say, how many of you would still want this $100 bill? There would be a lot of people that would raise their hand. If I took this $100 bill and I stepped on it, and I walked, scrubbed it in the dirt, I said, how many people would want this $100 bill? Or if I took this $100 bill and, and spat on it, there'd probably be some hands that would go down. But not everybody's hand would go down. You see, no matter what you do to this $100 bill, it retains its value. You see that about yourself? No matter what a person has been, no matter what they have done, no matter what their past has been, you still retain your value. Why is that? Because you're created in God's image. That value never goes down. It's never tarnished. You see, what happens is he gives us a choice for our destination. Your value is the same. Jesus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for every person that is in prison today, everyone that has committed murder, everyone that has sinned. God gave his son for everyone. And I don't care how bad that person is, they have not lost their value. They just decided what their destination is going to be. But God still loved them, didn't he? Because they never lose their value. In this scripture in Romans chapter 8, it goes on in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but we walk according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh, what? They cannot please God because they are separated spiritually from him. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is what? He is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he has raised Christ from the dead. He will give you life to your mortal bodies through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit who put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness and for your grace today. Am I spiritually alive? Am I spiritually alive? Or am I spiritually dead? Do I know Christ as my Lord and Savior, or do I not know Him? Dead or alive spiritually? Saved or unsaved? What category do you fall in today? In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, it says that you can know, because it says the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So many are reluctant to accept Jesus because something in their past or something is involved in their, they are involved in right now. Today is the day of salvation. I don't care today if you're doing drugs. I don't care if you're doing alcohol. I don't care what you're doing. It don't matter. You need to accept Jesus. Allow Jesus to bring change in your life. You don't change yourself and then come to Jesus. You come to Jesus and Jesus changes you. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for this time. We thank you for the worship and the prayer. Oh, Lord, it was just amazing today. We just praise you and worship you. And we open our hearts and our lives unto you today. And Father, as only you can, I pray that your Holy Spirit would sweep over this place. And if there's one here today, and I know that we're a thin crowd to what we usually are, but if there's one here today that does not know Jesus, needs to make that decision to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray that right now your Holy Spirit would touch their life, and Father, you would speak to their heart and reveal to them that they need you more than anything else. I pray that, Father, you would speak that into their heart, that your Holy Spirit would draw them. The Word says we can't come to you unless we're drawn by the presence of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would have that drawing power on their lives right now. And while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, would there be one by the signifying of the upraised hand, Pastor Leo? I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior today. Today is the day of salvation. Would there be one today? Signifying by the upraised hand. Today I want to accept Jesus. Today I want to make my life right with God. I don't want to be separated from Him any longer. I want to be united through the Lord Jesus. Would there be one today? We pray that, Father, as we leave this place today, that your hand would be upon each and every one of our lives. And that, Father, you would draw us all back together as soon as possible. We pray for those that are not here today, that, Father, that you would be with them, those that have sickness in their body, or that you would minister to the need if they're on vacation, whatever the reason, we pray that you would be with them. And we pray for the others that are outside of this church, Father, that have never come here. We pray that your Holy Spirit would draw them in. Father, they do not recognize that they're walking in death because they are walking in separation from you. And I pray that, Father, your Holy Spirit would reveal it to their heart and to their life. And I pray that, Father, you would use us as witnesses and testimonies, people that will water the Word and sow the Word in people's lives, because, Father, we know that you stand ready to bring the increase in their life. We ask that, Father, you would be with us today as we go our separate ways. And we ask that, Father, you would bless each and every one of us as you always do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You are dismissed.